But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So this morning, I just want to talk about Christmas interruptions, part two. And last week we talked about Mary's life and how it was interrupted by God. And I just brought these points up about Mary was troubled, she was afraid, and she was dealing with some uncertainty. And when we looked at how awesome her answer was in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, it says, And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid or the slave of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy will. And the angel departed from her. So her answer was to this interruption, I am your slave, I will do as you say, God. What an awesome attitude that is, right? Even though she was troubled, she was afraid and uncertainty, she said, Here I am, Lord, use me. And I put my nose, wow, what a display of trust and obedience and faith. She didn't drag her feet. In the very next verse of that chapter 1, in verse 39, says, She went into the hill country with haste. She didn't lollygag around. Anybody know what lollygagging is? Just kind of stalling, just kind of not doing anything. If you're an employer, you know what that is. You realize when you read the scripture and it says in that verse, in chapter 1, verse 39, it says that she went into the country and she did it that minute. That from where she was at to where Sarah was, it was believed to be an 80-mile trek by herself. So she went by herself, whether it was by donkey or what it was, but she went to under her cousin Elizabeth at that time on an 80-mile journey through the desert terrain. Now, I don't know about you, but I got to believe at that time it probably wasn't very safe for a young teenage girl to be traveling those roads. And maybe she had some people with her. I don't know, but she made no haste. She went about it. And so then we talked about these lessons that we could use, that God interrupts being favored. His blessings may not be what we would ever wish for or desire. Now, the reason why I'm sharing these again, I hope you write these down, because there's going to come a time in 2018, if the Lord tarries, you're going to feel, wow, this is what salvation is all about, huh? And I mean that in a way of sarcasm. You're going to be like, Lord, you saved me, and this is what's going to happen in my life. Not everything that God has planned or is going to use in your life is going to be exactly what you would want it to be. It's okay to feel troubled, afraid, and uncertain when those interruptions or crises come. God often calls us to do more than we think we can do, but he never calls us to do more than he can do. Remember that. He can do anything, right? Luke chapter 1, verse 37 says what? Let's turn there together. It's a verse we did together last week. When you're there, say I'm there. Not everybody's there. You ready? We're going to read it together. Chapter 1, verse 37 of Luke. First word is four. So here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. Wow. That was like a real slow tape. Okay, let's see if we can speed it up a little bit, all right? We're all going to go together. I'm going to count to three, and we're going to go for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Amen. Good. All right. So, God often calls us to things that we don't think we can do, and you're right, you can't do it. Somebody will say, I can't bear any no more. You're right, you can't, but guess who can? God. Then the next thing I said was God uses ordinary people who are available and obedient. You know, when you look at the scripture, all through the scripture, he looks for those men, those fishermen, those different people that are just available and ready to be obedient. Then God often shatters our dreams so that he could give us new ones. And we're going to look at another one today that's been shattered. So you could take all these points and apply them to the life of Joseph that I'm going to talk about here in a minute. And always do what God tells you to, even if it doesn't make sense. And I think that one really hits Joseph upside the head, even if it doesn't make sense. And then the last one is, you're a sinner and you need a Savior. Amen? Even after salvation, you still need that Savior. All right, so lessons we can learn from the scripture here that we just looked at about Joseph. So we enter in and we need to look at his interruption here. So when we look at Luke's account, we see that, and then we get Matthew's, we get a picture that Mary was told first. And I don't know how or when Joseph found out. I kind of believe if you read Luke's account that she went off to live with Elizabeth. And then the scripture says that she stayed with Elizabeth 3 more months till John the Baptist was born. So that would put Mary at about 3 or 4 months pregnant. I think that's about the time that Joseph found out. That's just my speculation and I, some of the commentary as well. But I'm thinking that's about right the time he found out. So she went off to Elizabeth, stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months as Elizabeth was ministering to her and pouring her heart into her. And I challenge you, if you can read chapter 1 and her response, Mary's response about Jesus and how she needed him as a Savior, it's awesome. And then, so I'm believing that's where we're at here with Joseph. And so he's contemplating this whole thing of what he's going to do with this woman that he is betrothed to, engaged to, that is pregnant. And it's not his. I mean, you look at this story, it could be ripped from a Jerry Springer show, couldn't it? I mean, you look at it, it's some of those things you've probably seen on there. But so he's in this middle of this interruption and this crisis. And I just wanted to give you a little food for thought here. If you'll hold your place here and turn to John chapter 8, you say, man, we're turning a lot of places. I just want to kind of show something to you because this will kind of put it in perspective a little bit. John chapter 8, you always see that the Pharisees are never listening to God, to Christ, and they're always chiding him and they're always picking at him and they're always saying things to him. When you turn to John chapter 8 and you read verse 41, you'll realize that the interruptions that Mary and Joseph faced with the birth of Christ followed Jesus, his whole earthly ministry. I believe when you read 41, you see a chide coming from the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the leaders of the Jewish leaders there. Let's read what it says. It says, "You," and Jesus is speaking the first part, "you do the deeds of your father." They said, they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." To me, I believe that's them taking a chide at him and his legitimacy of being a bastard child, not born of Joseph. And so it's one of those things when you start reading those scripture. Now, of course, you keep reading on. Jesus says, well, you're of your father, the devil. So he kind of got the last, ta-da on that. But it's one of those things where this interruption followed him through his ministry. And I'm sure it dogged down Joseph as well as taking care of somebody else's child. So this is the situation that Joseph is dealing with. He's finding out as we go back to Matthew chapter 1. And it says in verse 18 or verse 19, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately." And then in verse 21, or verse 20, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream." So my first point and lesson learned from Joseph is this. Number one, he kept his mouth shut. He kept his mouth shut. Put yourself in his place. I mean, how many of us men, let's be honest this morning, how many of us men were engaged to a woman and we haven't seen her, we haven't talked to her, we haven't texted with her, and we find out whether it was 1 week, 2 weeks, or 3 months later, she's pregnant by somebody else, which one of us in this room is going to say, I'm going to ponder on these things and put her away privately? I see no hands. Because I believe you raise your hand, you probably die right here in the chair because it's not true. Any normal red-blooded man would tell you if they found out their wife or to-be wife was pregnant with another man's child or not his, he's not going to be going quietly. But here we see that Joseph, he didn't say anything. He was a just man, according to verse 19. He just, in that just word is the same one that we looked at a couple of months ago, which meant he was righteous. He was righteous unto God. So it's not like he was just, God picked this man out of the blue. Joseph was a man that was already surrendered to God and loving him and following him. But he kept his mouth shut. Joseph was a God-honoring and God-fearing man. He didn't want to hurt Mary or make a public spectacle out of her, which he could have did. But I guarantee you that he was troubled as well as she was and angered and all those other things, felt betrayed. But the scripture says, and I want you to get that, and I underlined it in my Bible, in verse 20 says, "But while he thought on those things." It's another word or another translations and another word for that you can put in there, and I'm going to use it tonight in the Christmas Eve service, is treasured. It means something that you think about a lot. This has really taken up some space in his brain. I mean, he's really thinking about this thing. And it's at that point, as he's keeping his mouth shut, that the Holy Ghost can come in and talk to him. So what does that serve as an application to us? Too often we talk too quickly. Did you hear me? Too often we have a problem pop up in our life, and what do? We talk too quick. We blow off too fast. Our reaction becomes our response, and we don't care about our responsibility. We just jump into action. But the Scripture says that he sat and thought on these things. And so the first thing I learned is I need to listen and keep my mouth shut. All right, second, he accepted God's will. Verse 24, let's read the 21 through 24. And it says, and she shall bring forth. So here's the angel telling him that she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt be called his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, who was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted as God with us. In the next verse, the first sentence says, and Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. You know, I noticed something about Mary and Joseph. Not only were they available, but they were action. Neither one of them waited. He heard what he heard. Now listen, think about that. I started pondering that. You know, God sends an angel to talk audibly to Mary, right? Gabriel shows up and talks to her face to face. She's awake. Joseph's got to go to sleep. I don't know about you, but I have some crazy dreams that I can blame on the pizza I ate the night before. So here's Joseph trusting in just a dream. I mean, you know dreams. Come on, if I asked what you dreamed about last night, you could tell me some crazy stuff, right? You'd have some stuff about Santa Claus, you know, taking your Christmas tree from your house. I mean, just crazy dreams. But here he has a dream, and he listens, and the Scripture says he took her unto be his wife. It takes a real person of faith to accept God's will. It's easy to accept God's will when we agree with him, but what about when God doesn't do what we expect him, let alone what we want? Did you hear me? Because this is where the American church gets affected. We're okay when God does stuff we want him to do, amen? None of us mind tomorrow morning if we wake up to $1 billion under our Christmas tree, right? Some of us would say, Jesus blessed me, amen? But nobody wants to come out on Tuesday morning or find out a bad news report from the doctor and say that's of God as well. We need to remember that it takes a real man and a real woman of faith that when the chips aren't where you would put them, that you still trust and follow after God. And I really believe that's an area that not only this church needs to get a hold of, but the American church in general, because we might not preach the prosperity gospel, but man, do we fall for it pretty quick, and do we not live it out. Joseph trusted God, even though he must have had a list of questions a mile long. He trusted because he believed what God would do was best. Maybe this Christmas your whole life seems flipped upside down. Maybe you're wondering if God went on break or vacation. Anybody ever wondered that? Ever wonder if there's a time clock in heaven and God said, boop, break time, right? Maybe sometimes you wanted to cry out. I could imagine Joseph crying out and say, God, how can this be? But like Joseph, we hear a still small voice from God that says, trust me. Trust me. God's ways are not always our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And we may never understand everything that God is doing this side of heaven. But God says, trust me and it will work out. Remember this verse that we all love to quote all the time? And we just worked through it a couple weeks ago. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. That's Romans 8:28. Christmas happened because Joseph trusted God, and we need to learn to trust God too. We need to trust him with our whole lives, not just the mountaintop experiences. So when somebody will tell me something of a mountaintop experience where things are going great, can anybody raise your hand as a testimony that right now you're on a mountaintop, God has given you victories? Come on, don't be shy. Raise your hand and say, yeah, there's people all through. And what do I tell them is this, remember that in the valley. Why is that? Because we, and I say we, me as well, we'll remember all the great things, but then when it comes down to that valley, we'll be like, God, where are you? He's there too. Remember it. So then the third lesson we can hear is we need to care for others. Another thing we learn here is we need to care about other people. You know, he had you look at this right here. This is my, you always see the nativity scene, right? And you see all these people that are here. You've got your magi, you got your shepherd. And just so you know, the shepherd and magi didn't show up on the same time, okay? There was like 2-3 years difference by the time the magi showed up on the scene, so we could probably wipe them out. But so we had the shepherds there, okay? Well, Joseph is always just standing there. You know, they always talk about Mary, and they always talk about, of course, Christ, the baby. But Joseph is just there. But when you look at Joseph, he teaches about caring about somebody. Because here he was a man that God said, take care of a child that's not yours. He's going to save his people. The name Jesus means Savior. He's Emmanuel, which means God with us. I mean, who wants to step in the his shoes as a father? You're going to raise the Messiah. Oh, can I please? Any other fathers in here make all kinds of mistakes all day long? But then you're going to raise God himself? Yeah. Thank you didn't choose me for that, okay, God? So here he is, but he shows you how to care for other people. It's because he takes care of this lady, and he takes care of her child. And he's always there supporting. He is the one that takes them and escapes to Egypt because he knows that the king is coming after. God speaks and says, go. He's always caring about Mary, Jesus, and his family. Joseph had an important role, and it was caring for others. It's at this time of year that we see all kinds of needs, but it seems like they're so overwhelming, right? There's so many needs, you can't meet them all. We need to be like Joseph and just meet the needs we can. We can't meet them all, but there's things in our family, there's things in our close circle of friends and community that we can meet the needs to, and that's what we need to focus in on. Christmas came because Joseph cared about Mary and Jesus, and we need to learn how to care about others. Are you hearing me this morning? Not just at Christmas. Come next week and 2 weeks from now, we need to care for other people. Next lesson, he gave whatever he must give. He gave whatever he must give. He didn't know that after Jesus was born that he would have to take Mary and Jesus into Egypt. He didn't know that would have to happen. That comes with a cost. Can you imagine how long of a journey that was and the supplies you had to have? He did whatever he had to do. You think about he had to put forth the offering eight days after Christ was born. He had to bring in the two turtle doves, the two turtle doves brought him in for a sacrifice. He gave everything he had. Whatever God asked of Joseph, he freely gave. You will never find in Scripture a man that's talked less about that gave 100%. Anything God told him to give, he gave. And this is what Christmas is. God gave himself. Christmas happened. When Joseph gave himself, Christmas happened. There's nothing wrong with giving gifts, but the greatest gift of all is the gift of love. And when you see Joseph, you see a man of love. A man that loved his wife and his family and his God enough to have his reputation tainted. Get a story for you here. Wally was a 7th grade student who was bigger than all the other students in Sunday school class. His mother had been an alcoholic when he was born, and as a result, Wally did not have all the mental capabilities of the rest of his classmates, but he managed to get by. Christmas time came, and his class decided to put on a Christmas pageant. Since he was the biggest, Wally was selected as the innkeeper. After all, the innkeeper is kind of a villain in the Christmas drama. So they coached Wally to be just as mean as he possibly could be. Well, the night came of the Christmas play, and in it, Mary and Joseph came to Bethlehem, went to the inn and knocked on the door. Wally opened the door and said, "What do you want?" Just as mean and gruff as he possibly could. Joseph said, "We need a room. We need a place to stay tonight." "Well, you have to stay someplace else," said Wally, "because there's no room here. There's no room in the inn." Then Joseph said, "But my wife's expecting a baby at any time. Isn't there someplace we can stay from the protection of the cold so she can deliver the child?" "No," said Wally, "there's no room here." And suddenly there was a silence from the back of the stage. It was one of those embarrassing moments when you know that someone had forgotten a line. From behind the curtains, you could hear the prompter saying, "Be gone, be gone," while he was supposed to speak, but for some reason, he had choked up and forgotten to say, "Be gone." Finally, after he had been coached for several seconds, while he managed to say, "Be gone," Mary and Joseph sadly turned to leave, but just as they did, Wally said, "Wait a minute, wait a minute. You can have my room." The director of the play was ready to pull out her hair because she knew the whole Christmas pageant had been ruined, but had it. Maybe Wally, better than anybody else, communicated the real spirit of Christmas. "You can have my room. You can have my life." That is what God said at Christmas time. "You can have me, I give you myself, and this is the greatest Christmas present of all." Are you ready for Christmas? I don't know if you were able to get all your shopping done. I don't know if you're able to attend all the festivities and the parties. But I hope you'll have a real attitude this year that is of Christmas and of God that says, "He gave it all, and I'm giving all myself to you." Jesus stands before us today, inviting us to make important decisions about our lives and our eternity. He stands with his nail-pierced hands and says, "I have given my all for you. Will you give your all for me?" And that's what Christmas is about. So I want to ask you, before we continue on with any more of the services today, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you trusted in him? And then secondly, do you have the Christmas attitude? That Christmas attitude where God says, "I gave everything." Where Joseph says, "My life was interrupted and I followed after God." Where Mary says, "My life was interrupted in a crisis, but I made haste and followed after God." And that's exactly what God wants us to do, to follow after him. And I promise you, he will never ask any of us to do what he asked the two of them to do. He may ask you to go on a mission field. He may actually ask you to talk to somebody about Jesus. He might ask you to give the last dollar you have in your wallet to somebody in need. Are you willing to hear him? Are you willing to listen? He may ask you to be as loving as Joseph is, to get in a situation that nobody else would get into because you'd look like a crazy fool to try to do what God's telling you to do, but that's what he wants you to do. And I promise you, in 2018, somebody in this room is going to face, at least one person, is going to face something that we could never think would ever, ever, ever be allowed by God, and it's going to be. And how will you respond? And how will the rest of us around respond? So at this Christmas, will you let God have his way in your heart? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Where are you at? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you surrendered? Have you surrendered all? Would you say right now where you're seated, "I'm surrendering all right now to the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. I am feeling the interruption that God has put upon my heart that I need to trust in him as Lord and Savior, and I'm doing it right now." If that is the desire of your heart, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you in that direction, to trust in him as Lord and Savior, would you raise your hand and say, "That's me, preacher, that's me"? Is there anybody? Christians, are we going to allow our lives to be interrupted? We need to. Is there anybody here this morning to say, "You know what, I need to allow more interruptions to come into my life from God, and I need to do what he says to do. And from this day forward, starting today, my Christmas present back to God is to be obedient and to serve him the rest of this year the best I can, and in 2018. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make it my pledge to be an inspiration to those around to follow after God." Would you really raise your hand and say, "That's me"? Yeah, amen. Paige is going to play a moment of invitation. And then we're going to continue on. So if you'd like to come, you come now. Don't wait. Who would be first? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for those decisions that were made. You know the heart of your people. And God, I pray that you challenge them. I pray that you hold their feet to the fire. I pray the Holy Spirit would prompt them anytime they start to go astray from what you put upon their heart. And God, I pray all of us would be better examples and allow your interruptions, your crises to play out in our lives. And God, nothing says we can't be fearful, and nothing says we can't be troubled and uncertain, and we can't cry and we can't be worried. But Lord, may we remember that our response needs to be responsible in representing the God that we serve. And if the only thing we can say is nothing is impossible with our God, then may we say that. We love you and thank you for all that you've done in our lives. And Lord, we pray that tomorrow would be a great day to ring out about what your Son, being born in that manger, has done in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.